This is now, I'm turning to the book of Romans, chapter 12. I read to you verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And tonight my subject is blessings of faithful Christian service. Blessings of faithful Christian service. As we know, to be a Christian comes with responsibilities and also many blessings. And the first verse of Romans chapter 12 exhort believers to dedicate themselves to the service of the Lord. As it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So this is an exhortation to all believers to dedicate ourselves to our bodies. Yes, our minds and everything are dedicated, but our bodies, our whole being must be given to the service of the Lord. And indeed, this exhortation is for the well-being and prosperity of the church. You see, it helps the individual believer, but it's also for the well-being and prosperity of the church. Because as we get a blessing from the service of the Lord, the church is blessed with many blessings that the Lord has promised. And this is so because every believer is given a particular spiritual gift for the purpose of serving in his local church. There's from verse 6 to 8, we are not going to look at the chapter step by step. I'm just picking up some few things. Verse 6 to 8, we are told, Apostle Paul tells us here, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, whether according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So you see that this gift of blessings, of abilities are given to the members of the church. And it's not given to one particular person. It's given to all the members, liberal members of the church. And it's for the purpose of serving in our local churches. It is for that purpose. Apostle Paul illustrated this ability to serve the local church. He used the human body and how it functions distinctly, and yet all are for the benefit of the particular body they belong. So verse 4 to 5, he says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we've been many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. And this tells us that the local church, and this exhortation is to the members of a local church. Sometimes people think when the Bible refers to our usefulness for the church, generally it means yes, the general body of Christ, we have to be useful. But these are to specific local body of believers, to specific churches that these associations are to. So we take it to ourselves as a local body of Christ, and we learn from it for the use and for the blessings of our church. So it says that each one of them, like the human body, it has so many members, but all are working together for that particular body. All that a body has, the leg, the head, and everything, is for that body. And each local church is the body of Christ. Generally, as we know, there's that general body of believers in Christ, both those in heaven and those on earth, that we call the universal church. And Christ, the head of that universal church. And also, each local body also represents that universal church. And each local body, Christ is the head of the local congregation of body. And that each member of that local body is also part of that local body. And that is how these exhortations are for us. Sometimes people think of the exhortation as if it is for believers generally. Each believer is joined by the Lord to a local church. And this is for each one of us in the local church to apply it to ourselves. So here it is that he tells us here, That's for the verse 1. He says that, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. For he was writing this to the church in Rome, the believers in Rome in particular. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So he says to them, and so we also as a body, we have this exhortation to us to present our bodies individually and also collectively as a church. So before we move on, this teaches us that the usefulness of every Christian, if it is genuine, must be beneficial first to his local church. Sometimes our usefulness extends to other churches, Church of Light Faith, which is good and which is right. But if our usefulness are genuine, it must be first felt in our local church, help the local church where we belong, before even other churches, other believers will benefit, because that's where the Lord has placed us. We are in that body. And it's in that body that we ought to grow. But you know, some Christians are misguided in their usefulness sometimes. They seem to be burdened with matters of other local churches, while they are negligent for their commitment to the church they belong. Some people are like that. And as I said, yes, our concern generally for all believers must be, we have to pray for them, and if there's help, we have to help them we have the capability. But our concern as believers is to first to our local church, where we belong, our usefulness. You see what Apostle Paul said, even our giving. He said that, he tells us, he that giveth with simplicity, he that also ruleth, and he that exalted, he that giveth, let him do with simplicity. Even with that, we show that to our local church first before we've been extended. Because it is where the Lord has placed us. So he says, but some people sometimes are misguided. They are genuine believers, but sometimes they are misguided by this, and they think that, so long as we are all body of Christ, they call the body of Christ, so we just move everywhere and do anything. No. If our usefulness are genuine, it must begin from our local church. If we are able to do anything for the Lord, it's here, it's where we belong. And also, so for the work of our church, we are commanded in verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This attitude towards the Lord's work must be felt in our local churches, where we belong. We should know that they're not slothful, not lazy. This business is not our world business, the business of the Lord, the things of Christ and His church. And it might be done with fervency in spirit, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Yes, we serve the Lord. Our usefulness can be, as I said, be felt by other local churches, other believers, but it first must be done in our usefulness must be felt first by a local church. And this indeed is a good reminder to every believer, because we often attend to our secular work and jobs with speed and consistency. Because, for instance, when we get help to go to our work on Monday, we know the time, we rush to it and all that. And we close, we come by the next day, nobody even tells us to go, we do that. Because it's our work that we do. While often we drag our feet on the things of Christ. When it comes to spiritual things, sometimes we drag our feet. And I think sometimes we really forget of ourselves. But you know, this verse in verse 11 tells not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It should remind us of what the service of Christ is about. The things of Christ must be our chiefest priority. Not that we've abandoned our secular work, but even if the same speed and consistency we use to attend our secular work, even if we use the same for the lost things, I'm sure we will serve Him better. And we have to be more careful with the things than our secular duties. Because we must remember that the Lord will never bless a half-hearted, cold, and lazy service. The Lord will never bless. As a church, whatever we have engaged ourselves in it, if we are, as a body or as an individual, we are half-hearted, cold, and lazy in it, the Lord will never bless our service. The Lord will never bless. Remember His rebuke for the people of Israel in the time of Malachi. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, look at how he really spoke about their offerings to Him. He said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn, and the lame and sick, doubting God and offering, should I accept this of your hand? Said the Lord. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrificed unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. The Lord is our Savior, is our God, but he's a great king, and every service we render to him, look at the attitude of those who serve in the palace, or in the world, organization. Everything, you cannot, do it living. Nobody can serve in the palace with cold and careless. No. And the Lord is like, I am a great king. But sometimes we think, oh, the Lord is true, he's our Heavenly Father. But his service demands our greatest attention. You see? So are we praying for the growth of our church? Are we praying for the growth of our church? Are we desiring to see triumph of the gospel in our time? Then let's first examine our individual service to the Lord in our local church. That is where the Lord will bless us. We have to consider, are we praying for the spiritual or the physical growth of our church? Do we want to see the triumph of the gospel work in our own land or in this community? Let's examine our individual service to our local church. For that is where the Lord has said we should be, and that's where he will bless us. And also, moreover, let's also remember, working in the Lord's vineyard is the duty of every Christian. Working in the Lord's church is the duty of every Christian. Leaders have some specific roles, as we know in Scripture. Pastors, elders, deacons, their roles are there. So often, that is what all that we think about, what the pastor has to do and not what he's not doing. But there are other responsibilities that each member must take their share in the church will function well and also grow. So the church will not function if the pastor only does his things right, or the elder or the deacon, or maybe the teacher does his things right. Everybody have to also attend the same whatever duties we have with the same attitude. Remember the verse. The verse tells us. Verse 11 tells us. Let me read it again. It tells us, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This one was to the whole church, not to the pastors of the church or the deacons. It's to all who have been born again, who have been washed by the blood of Christ, joined to the body of a local church, body of Christ, and are members of the church. This is to us. It's not to, but because the pastor has to attend his duty the same way. If whatever duty I have to attend the same way for the Lord to bless whatever we do for him, so that the church will grow and it will function well. Because, for instance, if the leg says it will not work, where would the body go? And if somebody, like the hand says, you not take the food to the mouth, well, how can the body be fed? So you see, we have to work as a body for the church to really grow. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit are apportioned to all members. As I read to you from verse 6 to 8, you know that, let us wait on our ministry. Teachers on exhortation, in teaching, exhortation, those exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him. Some of these gifts are, some who have more of these gifts, some of them, cut across. But then, it tells us, when God saves us, the Lord says, when he saves us, he gives us a special ability to serve in his church. It can be bigger or small, it can not even be something that people will even recognize as small. But whatever it is, the Lord will help us to be able to attend to it. So as each member has a gift, so each member must have something to do for the good of the church, for the good of the church you belong. As believers, we are not only to attend worship and live godly life. That is good. We attend worship and also live godly life. That is good. But the other part, we are also to serve the Lord with fervency. As I'll repeat again, verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Christian service. We are not only to attend worship and live godly. It's good. And sometimes some Christians just want to be like that. Yes, they love the worship of the Lord. They love the sound preaching. In their personal life, they try to live according to Christian principles. But they will not commit themselves to any Christian service. You see, sometimes it's like, but then we have to know that we have to commit ourselves to the service of Christ in the local church. Indeed, there are many blessings which a church enjoys when all members participate in the work. There are so many blessings which comes in reaching out to the lost, as witness, we witness to adults and children in the community where we are located. And when we are, there's more hands in this, when majority of the members of the local church give themselves to this work of witnessing, there's so much blessing in that. There's so much to be reaped out of that. Also, when we have an outreach programs in other communities with the gospel, with the hope of planting churches of life. And I mean, this kind of things can never be done with one or two people. The whole body of a church must get involved. The others may have a bigger share of that responsibility. But whatever it is, this commission of reaching out with the gospel and making sure it goes out lies on the neck of every one of us. Remember at the persecution of the church at Jerusalem, we were told that when the people were moving out of Jerusalem, then they preached to people. It wasn't the pastors the apostles were in Jerusalem, but it was the ordinary church members. They told people about the wonders of Christ coming to this world to die for needy sinners. Remember, Philip went to a place to preach in the Samaria, and there was a blessing there. You see that? So, in anticipating, of what, that the truth of the gospel will go forth, we must also think of our own commitment to that. And also, we also participate by taking a role in other areas of service. Not only witnessing, the other areas of service which a church can go into, both spiritual and practical. Some churches have prison ministries, some churches have hospital ministries, some churches have orphanage, other charities to run. And all, if a church will run this thing, she needs true dedicated people who will give themselves to the service of the Lord. So, a church of Christ has many things to do. And as each and every one of us, we have our part also to play, to make it function. Even our own church, how we do our things here, everything has to be done by the members of the church. So I will list out some few benefits of the church, Christian service, and the church working together for the prosperity and the growth. The blessing for the church will be healthy and we will see the blessings of the Spirit. So our first in terms of the benefit, we have Christian service strengthens believers' faith and joy. Members who faithfully devote themselves to the work of the church grow in faith. Why? How do they grow in faith? As they witness God's faithfulness in enabling them with graces needed to serve in a various way. They grow in faith and joy. Since faith grows when God's faithfulness is realized. You see, when we realize there's a promise that the Lord has said, and we're able to hold on to that, and it's fulfilled, our faith grows. It makes our trust in the Lord become more firmer. And when we look at Christian service, you know, every Christian, if he's genuine, sees himself as unable to do really the Lord's service. So he cries for the Lord's help, he prays more to be helped for the service he does, and little by little, the Lord helps him or her. He's able to do what he does. They realize, yes, then the Lord is faithful. And I can also do this to help. So, it helps the believer's faith to realize that when I trust the Lord to help me to serve him, he has helped me. So my faith grows in that way. And while faith grows, joy also grows. Joy in the spirit grows. There's a verse in Psalm 63, verse 7. It tells us that, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Our rejoicing more, the Christian joy is more connected with the increase of faith. When our faith grows, our joy in the Spirit also grows. So it is hand in hand. The more we grow in faith, the more our joy grows. The less our faith grows, the more our joy also decreases. And also, Christian service has strengthened faith and also joy, makes joy to grow. It also fortifies believers' mind against doubt and fears. Because you have the sense of the Lord keeping you because you are serving him. As for instance, you know, your workplace, the normal workplace, you have the guarantee that I'm in the service of the work, and whatever happens to me, they'll come. If there's an accident, there's insurance. If there's a problem, the work will stand with me. So as a Christian, we know all our strength and our refuge that the Lord is with us. And when we serve him more, the more we realize his presence with us. The Lord is more closer. The Lord will be more of himself to those who serve him. And the more we see the presence of the Lord more with us, our faith are strengthened. And doubt and fears, Satan cannot really trouble us with so much of doubt and fears. We know that the Lord is with us, and we are assured of His presence because we are serving Him. We have dedicated, we are committed to His service. So, as faith is strengthened, assurance of salvation also becomes stronger. Those who serve the Lord have more blessings of assurance of salvation. Because I'm saved, and I serve the Lord, I've given myself to His service. He also helped me with that more assurance. It makes me to realize that my service are not vain in Him, for Him. He helps me to realize that I am His, because I serve Him. The more I serve Him, the more I am assured of my salvation. It makes it more brighter and more joyous to the one who serves. Remember, in the service experience of the disciples of Christ, when they were sent to go and preach the gospel, and they witnessed the power of salvation through their preaching labors, they came back in Acts 10:17. We are told, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." So when they saw the efficacy of the gospel, by their own involvement in the witnessing, they grew. Their joy grew. They were realized that the gospel the Lord is preaching is powerful. Have you ever felt the joy when you have witnessed to a friend for some time and you realize how there's progress and he's trying to grab the truth, showing evidence of understanding and believing? It makes you more joyful. It makes you realize that yes, the gospel is still working. It makes you realize that the Lord is in the business of saving souls. So it makes you need to put yourself more into the service of Christ. So these disciples were happy that there have been the devils that are subject unto us through thy name when we went out to do your work. So their joy grew, hence their trust in the Lord was also strengthened. In Philippians, we are told to rejoice in the Spirit. And we are able to do more of this when we are serving the Lord, when we are giving ourselves more to His service. So often in churches, doubt and discontent are found among members that are not seriously committed to any work of the church. The portion of members of the church that will be mostly affected with doubt and fears and assailed with much of discontent, they are members who are not seriously committed to any work of the church. While they neglect the service of Christ in the church, their faith and spirituality and joy are also affected. So they began to think more of the things of the world. Their concerns often are filled with the concerns of the world. Because in the service of Christ and the moment we are involved in, our mind is more of attaching the things of heaven, because that's where the Christ is. How can we have our minds on things above when we ourselves are not committed to His word? So you see, the more we are committed to His work, the more we are even great anticipation of His coming, knowing that we are serving Him, and we know that the Lord is coming for us. So you see that people often will doubt and the discontent in some people's are because maybe they are not seriously committed to any service of the Lord. So to cure our doubt and discontent, let's give ourselves more to the service of Christ, and that His things will fill our minds more, and then the things of the world will not have so much power us to make us fearful as Christians. Okay, so the joy and faith is increased when we serve the Lord. Another part also that Christian service strengthens the spiritual life of its members. As a body of Christ, when majority or all of us are into the service of Christ, our spiritual life is strengthened. We know that activities are vital for the physical growth of a child. A child is not only to be fed and clothed and sheltered. The child must have opportunity to also exercise so that he can become healthy. So anticipation of members in the church work is also a means of spiritual development and growth to the members of the church. We grow in the Spirit. We have more of the spiritual fruits bearing out when we serve the Lord, when we give more ourselves to the service of Christ. For instance, members who participate in the church's work grow in their prayer life. They are people that could really pray more, because they themselves will see the need of the Lord's assistance And they will cry more for strength so that they will be faithful in his service. And that, and if all of us are involved in the Lord's work, how our prayer will be more stronger. Because we all cry for the help of the Lord, and it helps us to be free from depending more on ourselves. It makes us more to dependent on Christ and his grace for us. And often, members who are less involved in the church work have less matters for prayer. All prayer often is about myself and my family, or maybe other things. But when we are involved in the service of Christ, the service of the church, we have a lot to pray for. For instance, if I'm a Sunday school teacher, or I'm a part of those that go out to witness, each and every week I meet with people with so many spiritual problems. And my prayer items are filled with these people, always bringing them to the Lord, praying, interceding for them. And look at somebody who is not part of this. He doesn't involve in any serious witness. He doesn't involve any serious work of the church. Compare the prayer life of these two. God, the more we intercede, the more our heart goes out to, be concerned for the souls of others, the more we are more drawn to Christ, because the Lord that will help them. To the Lord that we know that you can do them good, just by whatever we speak to them. So then our prayer life becomes more stronger. And then our prayer item becomes more even broader, and we begin to pray more. So you see, prayer is strengthened here. Our spiritual life is more strengthened when we are dedicated to the things of Christ. Also, when we are given to the things of Christ, it incites us to realize the need to increase in the knowledge and understanding of scriptural truth. For instance, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Oh, yes. You see that it helps me to realize how I myself have to learn the scripture for myself, so that I can also teach these children the truth that I bring to them. Except I'm a hypocrite that I will not concern myself to know the truth. If I'm genuine, it will help me to grasp more scriptural doctrines so that I will live by them and also be able to effectively instruct those that I teach. So that even as I teach for a long time, it also helps me to learn more. So you see, and when I know more of scriptural truth, my life of scripture understanding grows. And what will happen? My spiritual life is better than the one who just maybe have only personal devotion, is not committed to any work. At least his status is limited. But the more I exert myself in the service of Christ, the more I'm giving, I have that burden that I have to also know more for myself. And I'm sure many believers will testify to this, that because I have something to teach during the week, I can, no matter what it is, I have to learn something. I have to pray for the work I'm doing. I have to commit myself to something. And if I'm not doing anything, sometimes, well, yes, I'll read my time for prayers and reading of the scripture. Yes, I'll do them, but the agency might not be at the one who have to do something for the week. So you see that it helps us with our spiritual life. The prayer life is strengthened. Our giving ourselves to the word is also, it also increases. So you see, and it blesses us. So we see that there's a blessing in serving the church. Members who faithfully involved in the church's work are easily helped to identify their gifts. See, somebody will say, well, I don't know what I have to do for the church. But if, well, any ministry, I give myself to it, I am helped to identify my own gifts. It is a common experience in church history where many have been able to identify and improve upon their peculiar gifts when they were involved in the work of the church. I've read many missionaries. How they became missionaries was not that they were ever thinking of becoming missionaries, but maybe they help some missionary elsewhere, or they get involved in some mission work, and they realize, oh, I can also keep God. Or sometimes even the needs on the field excite them. Oh, then I have to also be myself to the work of the Lord. So you see, when we are involved in the work, our own gifts comes up. And I've had the testimony of many preachers and teachers of the word the same way, because they were involved in the work. They never thought they could be teachers or preachers, but then as they were involved in the work, then they also realized their gift of preaching, maybe becoming pastors and all that. So the work of the Lord really helps us to identify our gift. So if somebody says, well, like our kind of churches, I don't know how to do. Let's get ourselves involved in any of the ministries, and let's help. As we help, we ourselves are helped to identify what we can do for the Lord. The next thing is that when members get involved in the work of the church, it enhances purity in the church. Purity, health of the church. It is as you know, in secular societies, when everyone is busy in gainful employment, vices are less. I mean, people's hands are busy to do something in the communities we live in, thieves, necessary attitudes are limited. When young people in the community, when they get up, they go to work, how will you see ruffians joking around? But where there's less to do, you see a lot of vices around. So it is with community of believers. The church is kept pure from unnecessary criticisms, complaints, gossips, when all minds and hands are busy always in some Christian service. When we are all involved always in Christian service, the attitude of gossips, complaints, and backbiting, and criticisms, unnecessary about others, will not work. Because no one has time for that. No, everybody is really committed to the service of Christ. So there will also be increase in the desire to keep the church pure from errors. All be watchful, because we are all laboring for the cause of Christ. We are all laboring for the church. So all will be also be alive, will be alert for watching out for errors. As you know, no hard worker will easily allow someone to bring his work to dishonor. You see, sometimes we say that churches have gone into error, and we complain. It is because the churches started when the pastors or the leaders of the churches and the members were doing nothing for Christ. If they were involved, you know, even the churches, like we see Methodists and Presbyterian others, when the times that they have so much concern for souls, when they have the catechism classes, when, I mean, the pastors, and they were always teachers trying to help people, and there was that mind that we have to reach out for souls, and that the church have programs to try to draw in people so that they can know the gospel. The churches were sound. But when the gospel were let off, when catechisms and instructions for children, Sunday school work, everything were let off, this is where the churches have become. Now, these big churches, they don't have even a proper Sunday school work for their children. Nothing goes on. You see, even if they do it, they don't do it as they used to do it. And that the church has left its work of going out, bringing out the gospel, being desirous that souls will be brought into the kingdom of Christ. Now the church has become a place for money. The church has become a place for entertainment. The church has become a place not for the word of God and not for the service of Christ. So the church is now let loose, and that the impurities have come to the church, and now everything is running over. And as I said, when there's the church is working, there's purity in the church. People are careful, because they want the Lord to bless their labors. They don't want their work to be dishonored. Remember Apostle Paul's epistle to the churches he had labored to establish. How his concern was for them was how he writes to them. You read the letter, realize that the man has labored with the churches, and he's so concerned with their progress and prosperity in spiritual things. And the same way, we may not be like Apostle Paul, but then when we are concerned and committed to the work of the church, our concern that the church will also progress will be upon our heart. And we will never be negligent that anything happens to the church, and that's why we will be careful with it, because we don't want our labors to be destroyed by others who don't care about the work of Christ. Okay, the next thing also we think of, that Christian service enhances greater unity and peace among members. And even not greater, even true unity among them. See, sometimes churches think of unity and they think, okay, when there's that kind of people talking to people laughing, that's not what unity is all about. And that's not what peace is all about. But you know, people that are working and also pursuing the same goal, they easily realize the need for agreement and comfort. They easily realize that if there's no peace, their goals will never be realized. For instance, you have a business with someone, and there's always confusion. How can the business grow on so that you can have your profit? Because if there's confusion about what to be done and how to be done, the work will not be done, so that there will be no profit at the end of the day. So it is also with the church. The command for brotherly love among believers is greatly realized when all are involved in the work of the church. You all see that we are all involved in the same way. And when members, when we are working together, each one of us will realize our own weaknesses. We realize that we all don't have been the strength for the task. We all need more mercy and grace from the Lord. We all need patience and kindness. The Lord Himself has to be more patient with that, because we are all constantly sometimes failing, and we have to go to Him for help, and have to go to Him for blessing. So by that, we also realize the weaknesses of our brethren, and we bear with them. We pray more for them. But when we are not involved with them, we think otherwise. You see, instead of when we are working closely together in the service of Christ, instead of stressing on a sister or brother's weakness, we rather offer help to them. You see how the church is helped when we serve together. We are all servants. We are all servants. We all need help. So that I will not think that I am better than somebody. I will not think that I don't need much grace as somebody needs it. So that while I need more grace and mercy, when I see the weaknesses of someone, a brother or a sister, I'm careful how I talk about it. I'm careful how I approach it. But those who have nothing or have less to do, often they think otherwise of those who are working. Remember what Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:26-27. He says that, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. How do we realize this kind of, when one suffers, we suffer with him or her. When one rejoices, we rejoice with him or her. We realize this need when we labor together in the work of the church. When we are working together, then we feel this need that when somebody is affected, we are more, affected with the person. Because we see ourselves as a team, as a group, as a one body. So when the church is there and there's not that commitment to the work of Christ, yes, our attachment to the body is sometimes loose, because the body has a purpose. The church is to serve Christ, but we are in it and we are less servants of Christ. And in that sense, we become less concerned with what affects members of the church. We are more concerned with what affects members of the church when we are involved with the work of the church. That is how it is. So members who tend to be less worried about the peace in the church are often those who do less or nothing in the church. Because if I am part of those committed to the work of the church, I always want that there will be peace among us, so that the work will go, that the Lord will bless the labors. I will not be somebody, for instance, if there is somebody who is not part of your family, when he comes to the house, yes, he obeys the rules there, but his concern for the peace of the house is not as much as those who are really, members who are away every day. They know the shadows of the house. Father, mother knows their shadow, children. But the stranger who comes there, sometimes he does bring things that even distract that shadow. So you see, working together as a body of Christ, we feel those who are weak, we feel those who suffer, we help them, and those who rejoice with them. Envy and unnecessary gossips are taken away. It helps to, because we are working together, and we have one goal. We are pursuing one purpose, that is Christ's service. We are all concerned to that Christ will save the souls of the unbelievers around us. We all go out to witness, and then we share the same concern. Our love grows, our unity, the peace of the church grows when we work together. But those who are less concerned with the service of Christ, often, as I said, they are less concerned with those who are weak or who are having difficulties among us as members. And that is true. I think the last of my points for the blessing is that when members are faithful in Christian service, the church becomes alive spiritually. Often we think of the lively church when we have members and activities around, but that's not what a lively church means. We can be even few people that we don't see us doing much, but then when we are committed to the service of Christ, there's a life in the church. Spiritual life is in the church. And with this spiritual life, members are kept. When we are faithful in the church, the church's way, those who are faithful and in this life, they feel this liveliness, they are often kept from backsliding. Those who are dedicated to the service of Christ, the Lord helps them much. Yes, they sometimes feel their weakness and their own sinfulness makes them to feel so much unable to serve the Lord, but because they have a desire to serve the Lord and they call to Him to confess their sins and plead for grace, they are kept from backsliding. But those who serve less, they just backslide because they don't have what to do. But the one who serves the Lord faithfully, he knows that my any disobedience affects my usefulness. So that, and the more I overlook my disobedience, backsliding will set in. So I am helped that I have to always seek for grace, and that will help me so that our backsliding will be over for me when I serve the Lord. As you know, indolence breeds carelessness. The more we are lazy, the more we are careless. And every backsliding begins with carelessness in the Christian life. Any point in time that we are careless and we neglect it, backsliding will begin to eat in there. For instance, if I neglect to pray, okay, I brush over. By the time I realize backsliding will come in there, then your prayer life will begin to decline. And when it's affected, other portion of your Christian life will also be affected. Active Christian service will fill us with much spiritual joy, so that even worldly entertainment and worldly recreation activities will less delight us. Sometimes some Christians will be struggling with worldly entertainment, how they will have to separate, and they have separated, but they still have more some kind of attachment to them. One of the remedies of this is that if we are committed to Christian service, when we serve the Lord more, and our joy, spiritual joy grows, less and less we delight in the joy of the world. Less and less we delight in the things that will displease the Lord. Because when we compare the joy of His service and the joy of the Spirit, we wouldn't want to have the joy of the world. When we are tempted to have it, we realize, oh, there's nothing in it. Service to Christ and committing to His service give me more delight than anything in the world. Remember, Demas was sick, pursued the work of the church when he loved the world. The love of the world. Whatever it is, it's entertainment, it's luxury, the money, whatever it is, any portion we love, we delight in, it moves us from a delight in the service of Christ. But the more we delight in the service of Christ, it also moves us from a delight in the entertainment and the worldly and recreational activities which the Christian have to separate from them. So if we have a problem with this worldly entertainment and this recreational activities, let's commit ourselves to the service of Christ and dedicate. The more we dedicate, you see, by then realize we don't even have time for such things. And the more we don't have time for them, the more we see that we don't have any taste for them. But the more we have time on our hands to spend on them, the more we are drawn to them and we are tempted. You see, so being active in the Christian service in the church is very, very. It makes our spiritual life very active. When matters of the church becomes our chief concern, the zeal for the Lord's house will consume us as our Lord. The zeal of the Lord's house consumed him. He was so much concerned of the zeal of the things of the Lord's house. And we have to represent him, our Savior. His things, the things of his Father was the paramount thing on his heart. So, as if we are genuinely saved, such must be. The things of Christ must be upon our hearts. And if we, all of us are able to do this, then the church will be alive. The church will be alive spiritually, and members will be actively concerned and involved in all necessary endeavors. We want to do more and more, so the church will have more trophies, helping that the gospel goes out, and many even if Sunday school work, more children are brought to this knowledge of Christ, and the years to come, who can tell the blessings of such work? Maybe now we may not see the blessing of Sunday school. The children may come and go, but who knows in the future? The Lord will definitely bless His work. So as our text tells us in chapter 12, Romans 12, verse 7, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, we are not commanded just to do that. There's a blessing. I'll read you a verse and I'll close. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, we are not serving the Lord in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. This is the exhortation to the church, and it is to us also. After Apostle Paul has said many things, he said that, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord, the faithful Lord, has promised that our labors will never be in vain. Every commitment we give to His work will never be in vain. He will bless us in this life and the life to come. So, as I said, our assurance will be confirmed. We'll have more joy of the Spirit. Our faith will grow. And our separation from the things of the world will also increase. Our delight, our spiritual joy will grow. Our delight in the things of the world will be less. Then, who are we? We are becoming more of Christ. We are becoming more of what Christ intends for us. To be more of His people whose minds, as we are told in Colossians, set your minds on things above. Then you see the things of Christ becomes our delight. Other than that, if we become less committed to His things and to His service, it is sure that we also decline in the various things. I mean, our spiritual life will decline. We may put up a show as Christians, but truly, deeply in us, our spiritual life will not be vital. It will not be as it ought to be. So, this is how the Lord intends for His church and how He blesses His church. So, if we have, as I said, we are praying for the growth of the church, the Lord will bless that growth, or the witnessing work, or the Sunday school work, when we ourselves, our commitment for the local church is lively. But the Lord will never bless somebody who doesn't do much, but prays for a blessing. He doesn't do that. The Lord will bless those who are actively involved in His work. And as a body, as a church also, whatever work we do, the Lord will bless it. If we are actively in that work of His, for His name, for His glory's sake. So may the Lord help us as we pray for grace, so that we will keep up a live church by our faithful commitment to His work. May the Lord help us. And as the year has begun, let us pray for grace that we will be able to do more for His glory.